Well, g'day everyone and welcome to The Journey this week. My name is Jude Hennessy and we are bringing you a show this week that's all about Mission Sunday, what it's like to embrace the mission of the gospel. And to do that, we've got some awesome people lined up to give you some really good stuff to listen to. Really pleased to be bringing you an interview that I was able to get with Tanya Remack. She's from Alpha Australia and she's talking about the conference that's coming up in Sydney in just a few weeks' time and about the really awesome work and tool that Alpha is. We're going to be hearing from Mother Hilda Scott, of course. We hear from her each and every week. She's going to talk to us about the miracle that is God. Great to have Mr. Mark Rowey with us too. He works for Catholic Mission, so really important and appropriate that we listen to him this week about what it means to be missionaries of hope in this Jubilee Year of Hope. And to kick us off, we've changed his location in the batting order this week. We often have Bishop Tony Percy coming in number three. He's opening the batting this week and he's got a great, albeit a little bit longer piece for us this week as he breaks open the scriptures that are set down for this 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. His segment is called The Word. It's the gospel reflection for this week too. And so he's not only going to break open Luke 18, 1-8, the parable of the unjust judge, but also continues with a bit of a link in the commentary that's linked to the second reading today from St. Paul's letter to Timothy. He's going to give us some great insights into the importance of petitionary prayer, but also how all scripture is God-breathing and a powerful image of God's life being breathed into us when we dive into scripture. You're going to love what he's got to say. So a lot to get through, and don't forget that two-part interview that I've got with Tanya Remack towards the end of the show. We better jump into it, eh? Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and so glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered one of the villages, 10 lepers came to meet him. They stood some way off and called to him, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, as they were going away, they were cleansed. Finding himself cured, one of them turned back, praising God at the top of his voice, and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. The man was a Samaritan. This made Jesus say, "Were not all 10 made clean? The other 9, where are they?" It seems that no one has come back to give praise to God except this foreigner. And he said to the man, "Stand up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. And now with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
29th Sunday of the year, first reading from Exodus 17 and the Gospel from Luke 18 speak to us about the importance of petitionary prayer, of praying, asking God for different things that we think would be good for ourselves, for our husband, wife, spouses, our children, perhaps grandchildren, work colleagues, or distant different world events. There's a wonderful passage in Pope Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum, the very first social encyclical of the Church, where it says, well, look, we can all see the problems in the world, but we need to look elsewhere with a capital E for the solution to our problems. And that is that a lot of human problems that we can see in the world, big events, big problems, don't necessarily have human solutions. But if we pray with faith, we can see changes in the circumstances which move things along in the right direction. Very important. Of course, at times we've had the experience of praying petitionary prayers and not getting what we've asked for. But if we go back to Luke, when Luke speaks about prayer, he said, well, you'll always receive, you will always be given, I should say, and then you will always receive the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest gift that you can give. So no matter what prayer, even if it's not petitionary, no matter what prayer it is, the most wonderful thing we can receive is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who then manifests Christ to us. This is the role of the Holy Spirit, is to manifest Christ to us. And of course, Christ then manifests the Holy Father, the Abba Father. So the Trinity is like a mutual referring of to the other person. It's quite an interesting dynamic. Holy Spirit referring us to Christ, Christ referring us to the Father, and of course the Father sending forth the Spirit in and through the Son. Let me go to the second reading, which is St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. These readings have been running now for a few weeks, and I think they're fascinating because they give us an insight from an older bishop, an older apostle, which is Paul, to a younger man, which is Timothy. Timothy was a young bishop, as I think I explained last week or the week before, who encountered Jesus at a very young age, courtesy, as you will remember from your scripture, from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. You'll read about that in 2 Timothy 1. So that's where an instance in the early church where faith was passed on. So you do have the two traditions about baptism in the early church. That is where families, or whole families, are being baptized. You can read about that in the Acts of the Apostles. But then you also have, of course, the adult conversion. So we have the two traditions running in the church, which is very good to know, I think. The letter from 2 Timothy 1 says this: you must keep, Paul saying to Timothy, you must keep to what you have been taught and know to be true. It's a reference to, obviously, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Very interesting. The advice then goes on and is quite insightful and helpful for us in the spiritual life. This is what it says. All scripture, it says, is inspired by God. It can be profitably used for teaching, for refuting error, for guiding people's lives, and teaching them to be holy. Now, let me go back to the first line that I read out. All scripture is inspired by God. The word there is actually translated, that the original word is this: all scripture is God breathing. That's the word when you go to the original. It's translated as all scripture is inspired by God, but all scripture is God breathing. And that is a magnificent image, that God wants to breathe in us the breath of life. And that's what he's done at the beginning of creation and then again at the resurrection. Recall how Christ, as he rose from the dead, breathed on the apostles, received the Holy Spirit. So I thought you'd like that. All scripture is inspired by God. That's the translation in most of the English translations. But all scripture in the original is God breathing. It can be used, as it says, for teaching. It's informing the mind and transforming the heart and mind, for refuting error, guiding our lives, and teaching us to be holy, which is what we need. The question, I think, arises is, well, you know, when we look at the Bible, do we understand that this is the case, that it's so powerful, but do we understand the different forms that we find in the Bible? Because if we don't understand the different ways the Bible is written, then it won't have the effect that was just stated. It won't be helpful for teaching or refuting error or guiding lives or helping people be holy, because we won't understand it properly. So I think one of the insights of recent times comes from Robert Barron, Bishop Robert Barron, where he talks about the Bible being like a library. You go into a library and you find all types of books there. You find history books, you find science books, books of poetry and prose, you find satires and plays, song books, books of prophecy, fables and myths, etc. So you go to a library, you find all these different genres, what's called the genres in the world of literature. The Bible is no different. Just to give you a couple of examples, obviously in the Bible you find historical pieces, particularly, say, if you go to the Old Testament, about Abraham and his life with Sarah. Very interesting historical narratives that are given to us. Sometimes they're given in different forms, but they're narratives the same as the Gospels. You find these historical narratives, and St. Matthew and Luke and John and Mark, they will repeat a narrative. They'll take a slightly different aspect of it, or they'll slightly sort of emphasize something that's a little bit different to the other writer, but basically they will agree about this historical event. So there's obviously in the scriptures an evidence of historical literature. But then you get books like, in the Old Testament, for instance, like the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah is a satire. It's a Jewish person playing jokes on other Jews about their lack of willingness to share their faith. So that's a fabulously interesting book. Of course, you go to the Psalms, and there beautiful forms of poetry and beautiful forms of song. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that in St. Paul's letter you find these early hymns, and they're written down, but they would have been sung by the early Christians, which makes them obviously a lot easier to remember. So the point that I wanted to make to you this week is that we can't be lazy. We've got to do our work to make sure we understand the form that the Bible is written in, the particular book we're reading, and then we're right then. Then the Bible will be helpful for teaching, refuting error, guiding our lives and making us holy. So the scripture is profoundly human, just like Christ, in those different genres that I spoke to you about a minute ago, and profoundly divine. So once we work out the human meaning, then the divine meaning begins to emerge very clearly in our minds and our hearts. But if we don't get the human meaning right, then there'll be trouble. So I hope that's helpful. At any rate, once we pick up the Bible, we do a bit of work, we take the text, let it speak to us as it is in the form that it comes to us. Those human words will then sit with us, and then we will begin to feel God breathing in us, in and through the words that He speaks to us. What a gift.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Lift your eyes to see
to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I read a great story the other day. I'll pass it on to you. The story goes that there was a village high up in the mountains somewhere. The tribe, wanting a god, made an image of a god and set it at the end of the village. They believed that one day a miracle would happen and that same god would come to them in person. Generations went by. No miracle occurred, but the image stayed. Then one day a little boy was born. As soon as he could totter about, he found his way to the image. He was fascinated by it. The villagers had found him there, transfixed by it, taking in every line and detail. As he grew, the fascination did not abate, and as a young man, his family would see him there every morning before he set off to work in the fields, and every evening until sleep called him home. Then one day he was walking through the main area, which amounted to the only street in the village, and one by one the people stopped and stared. That young man looked just like the image, the same shaped face, the same eyes, the same bearing. The miracle had happened. Their God had come to them, and he was one of their own. That story, I believe, is repeated over and over again in the life of everyone who takes God seriously. All we have to do is spend time getting to know what God looks like, going to God, including him in everything that is ours, making ourselves familiar with what he does and how he does it. The more we do that, the more we become like him, and a miracle happens on our streets and in our homes. God comes again to us all. What a sad thing it would be if somebody else who desperately needed to see God missed him because you and I hadn't taken the simple time to become his mercy, his forgiveness, his kindness, his patience, his wisdom, his understanding, and so become him in the world. I have a hunch that this entire world right now is looking for just that, longing for the miracle that gives them God.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that from Mother Hilda Scott. The miracle that is God is what she called her wisdom from the Abbey spot this week, and how we spend time with God, and in doing so, we become more like God. Our prayer transforms us and makes us more like the one we love. Thank you to her, and thank you to Bishop Tony Percy, who right at the start of the show has broken open this week's gospel for us. Don't forget, you can go back and listen to anything that you hear on this week's show. Let's say you enjoyed Bishop Tony's input. Well, you can just go to jcr.org.au. You can click on the link for this week's show, or just click on the photo of one of your favourite presenters, and you can go and get any of the stuff that they've done for us at any time. We've already heard some great music before the break. Lauren Daigle, Power to Redeem, and here's some more. Nikki and Becky Drake, Speak Your Name. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Mr. Mark Rowey, and appropriately we do so on Mission Sunday, because he works for Catholic Mission, and he's going to talk to us about being missionaries of hope. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on The Journey.
Throughout the day, and when I
together on the journey. Faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And it all comes down to this. What you require.
And now, encouraging us to have hearts on fire and feet on the move, here's Mark Rowey.
19th of October is World Mission Sunday, the day the Universal Catholic Church celebrates the work of mission across the world. October is dedicated as Mission Month, and each year the Pope proclaims a theme to help us focus on the essential missionary nature of our church. The theme for this year is Missionaries of Hope Among All Peoples. It reminds individual Christians and the entire Church of our fundamental vocation to walk in the footsteps of Christ as messengers and builders of hope. Through his disciples, sent to all peoples and mystically accompanied by him, Jesus continues his ministry of hope for all humanity. He still reaches out to all those who are poor, afflicted, despairing, and oppressed, and pours upon their wounds the balm of consolation and the wine of hope. This work happens through people like you and me. Every year, Catholic Mission in Australia, on behalf of the Pope, focuses on a particular country and projects that will indeed build hope and quality of life for its people. Next Sunday, in all parishes in Australia, you will hear the story of the African country of Zambia, in particular the Northern Rural Diocese of Mapika, and what the Church is trying to do there to provide care for expectant mothers and their infant children. 96% of Zambians are Christian, and 20% of those are Catholic. The Catholic Bishop of Mapika Diocese, Bishop Edwin Malandu, is currently visiting Australia to share his story during Mission Month. In Zambia, healthcare services are extremely poor, especially in areas outside of the main cities. The World Health Organization recommends that 250 doctors be available per 100,000 people. We have well above that ratio in Australia, but in Zambia, the ratio is less than 14 doctors per 100,000 people. One of the main challenges is maternal health care, and women are highly vulnerable to complications during their pregnancy and the delivery of their child. The Catholic Church is collaborating with local government to provide accessible, high-quality health care to people living in the Mapeka region. But they need significant financial support to make a lasting difference. There is an ongoing struggle with malnutrition, malaria, food security, postnatal care, and infant mortality. Apart from medical supplies, infrastructure, and staff training, the funds raised by Australian supporters in Mission Month will provide transportation services for medical teams to be able to more effectively reach remote areas. The education and training support will ensure that improvements are sustainable and that there will eventually be less reliance on charities to keep them afloat. Zambia is just one country amongst a myriad of needs around the world. Catholic Mission is not the only organisation being a Good Samaritan in today's world, but we specialise in working in partnership with local communities and leverage the enormous reach of the Catholic Church across the world. Supporting Mission Month appeals next weekend through prayer and donations will make a difference to the lives of thousands of people and is a tangible way to live out the missionary call we are all asked to live out as baptised Christians. I'm Mark Rowie from Catholic Mission. Find out more about us at catholicmission.org.au.
Thanks so much. That was Mr. Mark Rowie. He's one of the directors of Catholic Mission. They do great jobs in lots of locations right around Australia. We're called to be generous in our hearts, generous in our daily lives, in the time we give others, but also in the giving of alms and giving of alms to good organisations just like Catholic Mission. There are many of them across lots of denominations. And we're doing the work of God combined with the prayerfulness that's required of Christian organisations. Well, God just multiplies it. That seems to be the formula. Certainly when you compare the work of Christian organisations compared to others, I certainly see that fruitfulness that is born out of offering what we can to God and God doing what he does, just like he does with the loaves and the fishes in the stories of the gospel. Now, after the break, you're going to be hearing from Tanya Remack. It's an interview I was able to do with her a couple of weeks ago, bringing it to you now, leading into the Alpha Conference that's going to be held in Sydney shortly, and it's got a particular focus on Alpha in a Catholic context. Love the guys from Alpha. They're so encouraging of all churches, but they're really helping lots and lots of parishes in the Catholic world to transform and to be renewed for mission and to be renewed for an embracing of Scripture and embracing of the Holy Spirit. It's great work they're doing, and Tanya's going to tell us a little bit about that in the interview that we've got over the next couple of parts of the show. Got some more music coming up for you now. We recently heard from Pat Barrett, Act Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly. Here's Mac Powell, Joy of the Lord. And after the break, we're going to dive into that interview with myself and Tanya Remack. Faith, hope, love and life. We've still got a bit to go. I'm really glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
All around us, there are troubles, and there are trials round every turn. And though that cold wind won't stop blowing, there's a fire in my bones, and it keeps me. The joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. That sweet melody in my soul all day long. No matter what comes, I'll just keep going on. Cause the joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. Till the trumpet sounds and the bells are ringing, till he calls me home, no, I won't stop singing. For every question there's an answer, for every problem there's a prayer. But greater is he that lives within me than all the trouble here in this world. The joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. That sweet melody in my soul all day long. No matter what comes, I'll just keep going on. Cause the joy sounds and the bells are ringing till he calls me home. No, I won't stop singing.
I've got that joy down in my soul. I've got that joy, joy of the Lord. I've got that joy down in my soul. I've got that joy, joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength and my song. The sweet melody in my soul all day long. No matter what comes, I just keep going on. 'Cause the joy of stop singing.
Faith, hope, love and life. This is The Journey.
And welcome back to this conversation that I'm having with Tanya Remack. She's from Alpha Australia. She does specifically a whole lot of work supporting Catholic parishes, and I've got a conference coming up at the end of October that I've asked you before, if you're a regular listener, to pray for and pray about, that it's a great success. Tanya, tell us a little bit about the conference, and maybe break open for us, if you like, the theme for our listeners, which you've called this conference The Way of Hope. What's it all about?
We're really excited for this conference, and this is an Alpha, in a Catholic context, national conference, but everybody is invited.
Oh, cool.
Now, this conference is really a gathering of all the baptized faithful.
Okay.
So this is for pastors and parish leaders. Schools are coming as well, so leadership in schools and staff.
Mm-hmm.
And everyday people who just want to be inspired and equipped for mission. And
okay.
That's really important. We're going to be creating a space, and it's obviously going to have Alpha culture, so we're going to have a lot of fun as well. There's going to be time for connection. We're going to be exploring again new ways of sharing the gospel, hearing stories of people coming to faith and how churches are actually using it to share the good news,
okay.
Build community so that we can be strengthened in faith in today's world by each other and by the great stories that we'll be hearing along the way as well.
And so you're going to go through each of the Alpha tools as well, like the different suite of tools that you've got for different ages, and all the, I mean, you've got the Alpha marriage course as well. What sort of stuff will they be hearing about in terms of your resourcing?
We'll have an opportunity to hear about the different Alpha suite that we have available, which includes the marriage course.
Mm-hmm.
You may be familiar with that.
Yeah.
We would call that a pre-evangelization tool, actually.
Okay.
It's a great lead-in to Alpha.
Yeah.
A way that we can strengthen marriages so that obviously our families can be strengthened and our communities can be strengthened as well.
Yep.
And we're actually having a bit of a youth stream. So
okay.
For those people who are interested in building up youth ministries in their churches,
yep.
Strengthening youth in our schools, there will be opportunities for youth streams. In particular, we'll be having workshops. So that will be a focus in one of the workshops.
Okay.
And we'll also be having panels, so we'll be listening and hearing about how we are actually making a difference for youth, how youth are really stepping up into this space, into being leaders, with the support and accompaniment of other leaders. So it really is for all of the church to come and listen and hear about all the different tools that Alpha does provide for churches to be able to do this mission that we've all been given. And Jude, you mentioned the theme. The theme is The Way of Hope.
Yeah.
And in our Catholic Church this year, we are actually celebrating a Jubilee year.
Mm.
And this Jubilee year's theme is hope. Actually coming to the end of this Jubilee year, but what we recognised as the Alpha Catholic team is that just because this Jubilee year of hope, you know, the marking of this year is coming to an end, it's also the beginning, because we are a people of faith who have faith in the risen Jesus.
Mm.
We are invited into that. And so therefore, he is our hope. He is always our hope. He is the way of hope.
Mm.
So the theme of this year's conference is also an opportunity to say, let's look at what has happened in the past, because that gives us hope. But we look to the future of the risen and resurrected Jesus and the promises that he has given us. And that is our way of hope. So he lights the path in front of us, but we can also look back, and the stories that we will be sharing also give us hope as we go forward.
We're going to go to a break in a second, but as for now, we're going to have some more music, and we'll be back with more of this interview with Tanya Remack from Alpha Australia straight after the break.
How do you pick up the pieces of a home that's torn apart? How do you believe for healing for a grieving broken heart? It's only by the hope of Jesus that light bursts through the dark to meet us where we are.
On the journey, faith, hope and love for life in all its fullness.
And welcome back to this conversation that I'm having with Tanya Remack. How do people register and you know, what are they in for when they get there?
Had a lot of people asking if they could just register over this next weekend, the next few days. So we've left it open for a few more days. So please do register as soon as possible. Seats are limited and we are running out. Now, what they can expect is Alpha Culture, I keep saying, is you are in for a good time, but you are also in for an opportunity to pause, reflect, and encounter the Holy Spirit in a new way. It's a two-day conference, and day one is all about restoration. We've had a long year. It's not a time to just stop everything. It's a time to pause, to be renewed, restored, refreshed, for what God is going to be calling us to into the next year. So we want to give thanks to God, and that's day one. We want to give thanks to God what has been this year, reflect and see, okay, Lord, where is it that you are calling us in this next season? Mm-hmm. Then day two of the conference is a formative opportunity where we will be equipped to be able to go out on mission.
Okay.
And so together we will be sustained also, because it is all consuming. We make a commitment to service. We want good things to happen in our churches, but we do need to take that time to, again, be restored and then be equipped, maybe in a new way. Mm. Come listen to new things. Hear from inspiring leaders. We'll be having plenary talks. Mm-hmm. We'll be having workshops. We'll be having beautiful dinner on the Friday night as well. We'll also be having a time of adoration and worship on the Friday night.
Okay.
We have a special day, what we would call a solemnity in the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. on the Saturday, mm. and it's the Feast of All Saints.
Oh, cool.
And that day we will actually be starting with our Catholic Mass.
Yep.
Everyone's invited to come along and participate. Even if you're not familiar with Mass, it's a great way to come and see what it's all about. And we are really excited because we've got some great speakers coming to join us.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bishop Michael Gielan joining us, and he's the bishop from Christchurch in New Zealand. And he'll be joining us and sharing a lot of his wisdom and experience in parishes, in churches, building up community, really being focused on sharing good news and evangelization. And what's really exciting is we'll actually be having a stream just for priests and pastors.
Okay.
We have Father Chris Ryan on the Friday with the pastors.
Okay.
And then Bishop Michael Gielan will be speaking to the clergy on the Saturday.
Fantastic.
There's awesome. Lots of great things happening.
All right, how do people register? And I know that you're running out of time for them to be able to do that.
Yes, we are.
So how do they get in?
Go to alpha.org.au/Catholic Conference.
Okay.
And you'll be able to register there. You can find all the details there, and registration is there as well.
Fantastic. Hey, Tanya, you're doing amazing work. I hope the conference goes really well. Blessings on you and all your work and all the stuff that Alpha does. And I often mention it here on the show and ask people to pray for Alpha, and I'm asking them to do that again as they move through the rest of this week. Pray for this conference. It's got the potential to bring so many more churches on board and to ensure that many, many more people come to an encounter with the risen Lord through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Good on you.
Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Lord, for the small things, like me and her on a porch swing, for summer nights and fireflies and the sound of my old six string. Blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. If I still got breath in these lungs, then that's all I need to get down on my knees and be thankful for all that he's done. For my mama, for my friends, for your love that never ends, for the songs that make us dance on this old dirt floor, for my babies, for my girls, for the world, you're waking up today. Yeah, I just gotta say thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just wanna say thank you, Lord. Oh, now. Thank you, Lord, for the hard times, for lighting the way in the dark times, for pulling me in, for giving again the times that I took it too far. I gotta thank you for keeping me humble, for picking me up when I stumble. And although I change, you stay the same, and I don't say thank you enough. For my mama, for my friends, for your love that never ends, for the songs that make us dance on this old dirt floor. For my babies, for my girl, for the way they changed my world, waking up today. Yeah, I just gotta say thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise up, eyes closed. One thing I know. I just wanna thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just gotta say thank you, Lord. Praise.
hope you enjoyed that interview that we were able to get with Tanya Remack. She's awesome. She does great work and she loves it. You can tell just by listening to her speak about the great work of Alpha. I really encourage you to get along to that conference that's coming up in Liverpool, in Sydney. It's for anyone, but it is probably strongly leaning towards trying to wake lots of Catholic parishes up and encourage them further, for the ones that are already using it, to utilise Alpha as a tool. I know we've got a lot of people going from our different parishes in the Diocese of Wollongong. Peter Gilmore, who you often hear from on our show, he looks after that in our particular region. And we know that the parishes that are embracing Alpha as a tool are also the ones that are convincing and convicting and drawing a whole lot of people to become Christian and to dive into life walking with Christ and walking with the church. Thanks to Max Norton, who's put the show together for us this week. There's always a bit of work to do when you've got to piece together an interview. He's put some great music for us right throughout the show too. We just heard from Chris Tomlin. So thank you to Maxie. Thanks to Bishop Tony Percy and Mark Rowie, Mother Hilda Scott, of course. The weeks keep rolling by, don't they? We're moving quickly towards the pointy end of the year as we move towards Christmas. And only in a few weeks' time, we're going to be diving into the Advent series that we've prepared in our part of the world, in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong. You'll be hearing some new presenters as we dive into the Advent scriptural readings, that preparation for Christmas and the incarnation, the birth of our Lord. And we're going to do that in the best way possible, by the breaking open of Scripture with a few new and special guests contributing to the show. Hope you've enjoyed it this week. We've loved bringing it to you. Don't forget you can go to jcr.org.au. Listen in again. You can give us some feedback. We always respond to any feedback that we get. And I hope you can join us again next week. Faith, hope, love and life. That's what this show is all about. It's been great to be with you this week on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.